Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
And now, before I get into my preaching, I need to tell you this. Because there's no air conditioning, straight after service, we just told the cafe to make 75 iced coffees, 25 iced teas. Go out there and have a free iced coffee. It's on us. You get an iced coffee. You get an iced coffee. You get an iced coffee. Everyone gets iced coffee. And if you don't drink coffee, well, maybe you should start. Amen. I've always wanted to give away a bunch of free coffee on my list. I want to give away a bunch of free cars. How do we do that? Someone needs to help us figure that one out. Someone can get a few hundred free cars. That'd be great. Hey, why don't you grab your seat? Grab your seat. Why don't you fist bump the neighbor next to you? Tell them it's a Connect Group week. It's Connect week. Thank you so much, worship team. You guys are phenomenal. RJ. I love RJ. One of the greatest people. He's a legend. Rocking some cool pants there too. Very cool. But anyway, I want to say, just before I get into this too, just a quick moment to honor our senior pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. You saw them on the video, but it's always an honor to preach in their pulpit. And, you know, I love preaching at Central, I love preaching at North, but I honestly love preaching at South the most. And I do have to remind you that the 12 p.m. service is the most excited service, the most passionate service, because my city's in the service, they're pumped, they're ready. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. But I'm going to be preaching a little bit today about Connect Groups. And I'm passionate about Connect Groups. We are a church built on Connect Groups. But I want to throw it out there, a thought, just some thoughts to you today about some common basic human needs that we have. So we all know that there's essentials we need to survive. You know, air, water, a double-double sandwich from In-N-Out Burger, grilled onions, protein style. Or if you're a bit adventurous, just take away the protein style, go regular. There's things that we need to survive. But they're like some basic essentials that we know we need to survive. But what do we need to go from further than just surviving? Because as much as I like the song, I'm a survivor, I'm gonna make it. I mean, they asked me to do that musical item. I said no, so they got like, you know, the female pastors to do it a little while ago. But they did their best, it was good. But you know, but you're actually called to be so much more than just a survivor. As much as I love that song, it kind of sets you up to lose. Because you're not called just to survive. If that's your goal, I don't know. You're actually called to live a great life. You're called to thrive. You're called to live in a life that God's called you to live. So I think that there are some other essentials that are just as important as air and water and double-doubles. And I'm going to talk to you about three of them today. I'm not saying that they are the three most important. I'm just saying that they're three very important things that each and every one of us need to have in our life. And I'm going to tell you them up front because I know many of you are taking notes because you want to go to heaven. But the three things are you ready? Friendship, growth, and purpose. Friendship, growth, and purpose. I'm preaching to you today about Connect Groups. And funnily enough, all three of those things, all three of those needs can actually be met in Connect Group. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the 12 p.m. service, God. And Lord, I just supernaturally pray that the air conditioning would just start working somehow. That even though it's not working, God, you can make it work. And if not, please let the technician arrive here soon enough that he will make it work. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Who's ready to have fun in church? Let's talk about friendship. Let's talk about having friends in your life. You know, when I look back on my life, I think of my most fond moments, my favorite moments of my life were not so much about achieving a thing or gaining a certain prize or a material or winning a soccer game or a basketball game, which I didn't really win much anyway when I was a kid, but that's another story for another time. But my memories of my life that I'm most fond of have a common thread, and that is having great friends around me. Because it doesn't really matter what you achieve in your life if you haven't got somebody to share it with. You could be the most successful person, but go home to an empty home and spend your week by yourself. And to me, that's not success. Friendship, I believe, is one of the most important things in our lives. But I think we may, as a society, need to tweak a few things when it comes around friendship. So Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12 says this. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Your friends should help you succeed.
Yeah, that's great.
If they're not, get some better friends. Your friends should help you and I succeed. I love having friends in my world that help me succeed. We're going the same direction. We're excited about the same things. We're pumped about church. We're pumped about our lives. We're excited. Friends should help you succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Isn't that a scary thought? There's this device called Life Alert that, people laugh about it, but yeah, don't worry, you just wait. Yeah, you can laugh about it now, but one day you're going to need Life Alert. You won't be laughing then. But Life Alert is for generally people who are very ill or very, very elderly, living by themselves. And the whole premise is if you fall and you can't get up, you press a button, somebody comes and helps you. That's sort of essentially it. But I wonder how many of us go through life. And we have fallen and we can't get up. And no matter what you do, your hips are broken, you actually need somebody to pull you up and say, you can keep going. You can get through this. This is not the end of your road. This is a valley. You're going to pass through this valley. I wonder how many of us go through life exactly like that. Just a thought. Verse 11, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? Disclaimer. Single people. With an electric blanket, you can remain warm. I have to throw that out there. Otherwise, you know, the 14-year-old boy that's got a lot of things happening in his life. Pastor said we should lay down together. No, I didn't. Little broken voice boy. Don't use that as a line to lay down. Stay vertical. You stay vertical, you're probably going to be all right. All right? Just to throw it out there. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two people standing back to back can conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Okay, so studies have proven that people with a wider network of friends have less tension, have suffered from less stress, and live longer. Studies have proven that. In fact, a professor of psychology from Brigham Young University said this, not having a social support network can be a higher death risk than obesity or leading a life without exercise. So you're better off eating a California burrito with some friends than going for a run by yourself. Somebody say amen to that. Come on, I'm here to preach the good news. You get a Cali burrito. You get a... One day we're going to do that. We're going to give away hundreds of Cali burritos. Now, I don't usually get scientific when I preach, but today I'm going to, for the next 3.5 minutes, talk to you about two case studies that I think are interesting that I found online. And they're correct as far as I know because it's from Google. Okay. So, case study number one, social isolation was examined as a predictor of mortality in 430 patients with significant coronary artery disease. More isolated patients were compared with less isolated patients on factors that might help explain the association between isolation and survival. Now check this out. The mortality rate for isolated people was twice as high as those who had 3 to 5 friends in their network. Isn't that a scary thought? Twice as high. It's amazing what just having somebody by your side can do for you. So in summary, yes, you are less likely to die eating donuts at Connect Group than eating kale at home by yourself. So this week, every Connect Group, donuts. Just do it. Just do it. Donuts. How do donut places even make money? Like, it's how many donuts do you get for $10? Like 15, and you get a free few? Like, that's not even a dollar a donut. I come from Australia, where you gotta save, you gotta budget, you gotta work overtime. And just to get one donut, let alone a box, get donuts. Another case study, check this out. A Concordia University researcher discovered that having friends is a protective factor for people facing a negative event. They recruited 103 youth and measured their cortisol, which is a stress hormone that you may be familiar with if you drive on the 805 freeway in the morning, northbound. Yes, people are like, oh my gosh. Sorry, someone just saw like a flashback from like yesterday. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's stressful, 805. Or maybe you've made the fatal mistake that I did once, which was telling your children we're going to go to Chick-fil-A, and you drive to Chick-fil-A, and you go in the drive-thru, and you speak to a little box, but no one speaks back to you, and you realize you've made the crucial mistake of it's Sunday. And then you have to explain to your children, who pretty much cry 80% of the day anyway, that they're not getting Chick-fil-A. Talk about stress hormone. So anyway, they measured these stress hormones with these 103 youth. 5 times a day for 4 days. Now, these are the results. These are the results. Check it out. The results showed that when people are faced with a negative event, their cortisol level increases. However, when they face this event with their best friend, the increase is not present. Isn't that interesting? How you could face a giant in your world by yourself and be stressed. But if you face a giant in your world with somebody by your side, you can overcome. That's why friendship's so important, and friendship's underrated in society. In fact, because of the way social media has gone, and I love social media, I'm on social media, this is not some campaign to get us to stop using social media. I love it. Use social media. It's a great tool. It's a lot of fun. Do it. But I'm saying it's possible for somebody in this room today to have thousands of friends on social media, but not one real friend at all. And we've kind of developed this culture that we're prioritizing followers over friends. Wow. We kind of have this culture where people are living for likes rather than being liked, or let alone liking other people. And so we have the selfie generation emerging. And I'm not upset about selfies. If you're a selfie poster here, go on. Keep posting selfies, especially if you're good looking. Come on, keep posting those selfies. I don't have a problem with selfies. But if you search the hashtag selfie, there's 312 million posts, hashtag selfie. But if you search the hashtag group, there's 2.3 million posts. What does that tell us? It tells us that we've elevated the selfie much more than we have the group. I love Connect Group weeks because especially on a Wednesday and a Thursday night, I go on Instagram around like 9:30, 10 o'clock. And I love my Instagram feed because it's pumped full of pictures of all these people at Connect Group. I love it. Tag me in your pictures. I love it. Please do that. I love seeing pictures of people at Connect Group all together in a living room having fun and eating great food and doing life together. Isn't it amazing? Hebrews 10 verse 24 and 25 says this: let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. I want to ask you and I a few questions this afternoon. One question is this: who do you celebrate with? Who do you celebrate with? Who's that person that you know that when you get that promotion at work, you can call them up and they'll celebrate with you? Because our friends are supposed to compliment us, not compete with us. That's a good friend right there. Someone you can call up and brag a little bit. Man, our sales have tripled this month. And they're pumped for you. They're happy for you. They're not like, oh, that's really great. I just bought a Ferrari. Oh, good for you. Scratch it on the way out. Your friends are supposed to compliment you, not compete with you. That's a good friend. Let me ask this question. Who's your 911 call? Come on, when stuff is not going right in your world, who do you call? Because if you don't call someone, you'll go somewhere or you'll do something.
Wow.
You will find a way to reprieve yourself, but it may not be through friendship. Wow. You'll find a way to escape the situation, but God doesn't want you to escape the situation. He wants you to bring the situation to Him. He wants you to bring the situation to a friend. Who's your 911 call? Who do you call when you're on the side of the road and two of your tires have popped? You don't know how to change a tire. Your AAA membership's expired. The kids are in the back of that car crying. It's raining. Who do you call? Who do you call? Hey, come and help me. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. I don't know why you'd be driving around with your kids at 1 o'clock in the morning, but just go with me. It's an illustration. Who do you call? Who is your 911 phone call? Are we doing life alone? Are we doing life alone? Because if you haven't got someone to celebrate or someone to call at 911, I have to ask myself the question, am I doing my life alone? Who do you have to sharpen you? Proverbs says, iron sharpens iron. We sharpen each other. Who sharpens you? Who do you get to sharpen? That's what friendship's supposed to be. Iron sharpening iron. Who do you have fun with? Obviously nobody, okay? I don't have fun. Well, maybe you should start. Fun is great. It's actually good to have fun. Maybe someone here is stuck in religion, your life hasn't been fun for 12 years. Well, guess what? Today it's changing. I'm now commissioning you to go and have fun. Stop not having fun. But who do you have fun with? Who do you just hang out with? And it doesn't have to be deep or anything spiritual. Just have fun. Who do you go to play Jenga with? Don't pretend like you don't play Jenga. Seriously. Let me blow your mind for a minute. Next time you play Jenga, do this. Buy two sets of Jenga, not one. Because you're used to one set Jenga, which is all right. This is going to blow your mind. First set of Jenga, typical traditional Jenga. Second set, stack it right on top of that set. And let the good times roll, people. Double Jenga. Play carefully. People lose their lives playing double. Play Jenga. Come on, who do you have fun? Who do you play Monopoly with? You can't play Monopoly by yourself. Oh, free parking, I win. Oh, Mayfair, oh, should I buy it? Yes. You can't, there's things you can't do by yourself. Who do you go bowling with? Look, I don't like bowling. I'm bad at bowling, and I'm okay with that. I go bowling when I need to humble myself. People say, oh, Pastor, you're so humble. Yeah, I went bowling recently. There's something humbling about a man that can't bowl well. When you get four gutter balls in a row, there's something humbling about that. There's something humbling about wearing the Ronald McDonald shoes, having the ramp, and still getting a gutter ball. But who do you have? Who do you go bowling? Because you can't high-five yourself when you get a strike. Who do you have fun with? Who do you watch Dumb and Dumber with for the 50th time? We got some cultural things to work through here. There's a few movies that everyone needs to watch in their life. One of them is Dumb and Dumber. This is church. Yeah, you should watch Dumb and Dumber. It's a great film. It would actually help you a lot. But are you having fun in life? Are you sharing life with people? Or have we just become so busy socializing on Instagram that we've actually forgotten how to socialize in real life? When I was a kid, we had this really awesome game called Go Outside. And oh, man, it was just the best game ever. It's so easy. All you need is a door to walk out of and you're there. You just walk outside and you go out and you're like, oh, I'm outside. And there's a kid and he's outside. We're both outside. Oh, we have bikes. Let's ride them. It was the best game ever. I'm just saying. Proverbs 18:1 says this. Whoever isolates himself. Time out. Whoever isolates himself. I think sometimes we think that people isolate us. But I don't think I've ever felt isolated by other people. Whenever I feel isolated, it's because I've isolated myself. I'm just trying to help somebody. Whoever isolates himself, this is not the most exciting scripture of all time. This is more like a ouch scripture, but it's good. It's a good ouch, not a bad ouch. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desires. He breaks out against all sound judgment. I have to ask the question, because I love you as your campus pastor, are you feeling isolated right now? Because I'm telling you, we love you too much to not ask that question. We don't just run connect groups because it's something fun to do. What are we going to do midweek? I don't know, just run connect. No, we run connect groups because we understand that there are people that are isolated. And without sound judgment in their world, what are they going to get up to? I thank God for people who have been around me in connect groups over the years that have given me their sound judgment. They've told me, man, I don't know if you should buy that house, or I don't know if you should get that tattoo. Now, I'm not against tattoos. I just had a really bad idea about one when I was 18, and I'm so glad someone talked me out of it, because it would have been bad. Or don't buy that souped up really fast car. Don't do that. Don't spend $5,000 on a sound system for your car. Someone told me that when I was 18. I didn't listen to them. Money gone. But I had a really good sound system in my car. You hear me from the street, like five streets away. And then I get closer. And then I get closer. Waste of $5,000. But who do you have? Who do you have in your world to give you the sound judgment? Who is going to be in your world to give you that? And are you able to hear the sound judgment? Here's the thing about blind spots. We all have them. We all have blind spots. And you can't know you have them. They're a blind spot. That's the terminology. Like, if you knew it was there, it wouldn't be a blind spot. But somebody else knows about your blind spots. I promise you, somebody does. And you'd be surprised at what people tell you if you ask them. And you honestly just listen. And you, man, what are my blind spots? What's the ceiling in my life? What do you see? Is there anything I should not be doing? Wow, come on. Or what should I start doing? Yeah, great. I'm just throwing it out there. My wife and I have two cars. We have a really good car and a less good car. I get the less good car because I'm a good husband. Now, I need to tell you about the less good car. It's a Prius. I'm just going to say it up front. It's a Prius, which gets amazing MPG. I mean, I go to the gas station, I make money. I drive out of the gas station, I'm just like, $18 for a full tank, yes! It's amazing. The downside to owning a Prius is I do get a lot of people giving me a hard time about owning a Prius. I don't drive my Prius to an Emerge men's event. Let's say, we swap cars that one day, all right? We swap cars. So my Prius is cool, but my wife's car is really cool. It has like these little blind spot lights that light up in our rear view mirrors if we're wanting to merge lanes. So if you flick the indicator on and there's somebody in your blind spot, that little light lights up, which means don't merge. If you merge, you're going to crash your car. And so I'm so much more likely to have an accident in my car, which is less awesome, than my wife's amazing car. But because the reason why is because there's actually something built into that to actually tell me there's actually a blind spot thing over here that you can't see. There's a pickup truck right there. If you merge, bang, you're going to crash. But we need to have people in our world who can be those blind spot indicators. We have to see those. We have to have people in our world that we love them and they love us and speak into my blind spots. Amen. You know, the reason why we designed this church building the way we did is because we so value friendship, relationship, connect groups. We've got a lot of square feet here, 40,000 square feet. It's a big building. And we could have built a bigger auditorium. We could have built a bigger kids' church with a bigger play structure. We could have a play structure so big that you could lose your kids in there for a whole week at a time. I mean, it's massive as it is. But we actually chose to build the foyer, the auditorium, and the kids' church all around the same size. And the reason why we did that is because we understand the importance of what happens before and after service. And that is friendship, connection. Maybe somebody meeting that special somebody. Come on, find your spouse in the house. You don't need to go online. You don't need to go to a pub. A bar? Just get in the foyer a little bit early. Get a latte. Hang out there. Say hello to somebody. You never know who you're going to meet at church. But we built this, the church, strategically because we understand the importance of friendship. And here's the thing about friendship. To reap friendship, you first need to sow friendship. And you'll find if you stop sowing friendship, it might take 6 months, it might take a year, it might take a couple of years, but eventually there'll be no harvest for you in the friendship world. And you'll find yourself isolated. It doesn't happen very quickly. It's actually a very gradual thing. And it's actually easier for high schoolers and college students to stay connected because they're with each other every day. But it's actually easier for someone, it's actually harder for someone like a busy family with three kids and careers and sports. Like, I feel like I'm just getting ready for this sports thing. It sounds intense, like sports every day. It's like, it's, you get so busy in life, it's so easy to be so busy just doing life that you actually become so disconnected. And then you've got no one to call in the 911 instance. You've got no one to call to celebrate with. That's not God's plan for your life. That's why connect groups are so important. We have these, and this is why I'm wearing it. Whose connect are you in? Take it easy. We used to ask the question, do you go to connect group? But now we ask the question, whose connect group are you in? Because do you go to connect group implies that connect group is for some people, but not for all people. Whose connect group are you in implies connect groups are for everybody. Whose connect group are you in? That's why we do connect groups. Anyway, I've got to keep moving. Friendship, number one. Number two, growth. Every one of us wants to grow. And let me say this, if you've given up on growing, then today I want to encourage you to start to dream again. I want to remind you that your best days are actually not behind you, but in fact, your best days are ahead of you. When you and I decide subconsciously or consciously that we're no longer going to grow, then we literally tap out of the call of God and the destiny of God and the plans of God in our life. Your best days are not behind you. I don't care whether you're 12 years old or you're 112 years old, your best days are still ahead of you. Proverbs says this, the way of life winds upward for the wise. Winds upward. Your life should get better and better, not worse, not the same. Your life should get better and better. And I've found that we actually don't so much go into our future, we actually grow into our future. And that's why connect groups are so important, because you're going to find that when you're planted in the house of God, you're going to find when you're planted in the connect group, you're going to start to grow. Our connect groups are very intentional about helping people grow. Come on, somebody. We're not just doing connect groups just to hang out and eat food. That's great. Let's have some carbs. We actually have a very intentional plan to help you grow and become a disciple, to be someone who's not just showing up to church, but to be someone who's purposely pursuing God and purposely producing other Christ followers. That is why I want you to grow. And the reason why you'll grow so easily at C3 Church in a connect group is because what's healthy grows. You can try really hard to grow, but if you're healthy, growth will follow your health. And we have connect group leaders who are passionate and intentional about helping you get yourself healthy. And I'm not just talking about fitness. I'm not just talking about, yeah, he can do like 100 crunches now. That's great. I'm talking about your whole life. I'm talking about your spiritual. I'm talking about your walk with God. You know, if a connect leader was to ask me today, what's a couple of keys for me to lead a great connect group, I'd say, well, number one, help people get healthy. And then I'd say, number two, be a gold digger. And gold digger is not just a great song. No. Oh. She take my money. Well, I'm in need. Yeah, she's a trifling friend indeed. Oh, she a gold digger way over town that digs on me. She took my mind. Anyway, that's enough. That's enough. Our connect leaders are actually gold diggers, meaning they're not going to marry you for your money. Don't be wrong. Someone's like, oh my gosh, they're going to marry me for my money. But I'm already married. No, don't. The reason why we're gold diggers is because we actually love you enough and we believe in you enough And we know that in every single person in our church, every single person who sits in the Connect group has gold inside of them. But that gold is buried under dirt. And that's why Connect groups are important, because you need somebody to get the excavator and say, you know what? It may get messy. It may be difficult. It may even hurt. But we're going to dig through the dirt and get to the gold. There's gold in you. There's gold in you. There's purpose inside of you. There's a destiny inside of you. There are great things inside of you, but they're buried and you need somebody to help dig them up. We have to grow. There are people depending on your growth. There are people depending on your growth. I'm gonna leave that one there. You can write that down and think about that later. There are people depending on it. Number three, the last one, and then we're gonna finish, purpose. So we talked about relationships, we talked about growth, purpose. Every person needs purpose. Every person needs to be part of something that is greater than themselves, greater than their little circle that they've perhaps created. You see, Connect groups are not a ministry thing that we just do because it's what other churches do. Connect groups are actually the backbone of our church. They're actually the foundation that we build our church upon. You see, there's this thing called the Great Commission, to go into all the world and make disciples of all people. And here at C3 Church, in our Connect groups, we're so passionate about the Great Commission. We're so passionate about the purpose that is the church. We're so passionate about the purpose that is Connect Group, that we're not called just to come together on a Sunday and gather a big crowd and drink free iced coffees and just hang out. We're not called to do that. We're not called just to gather a crowd. I'll be a sad man if I'm 90 years old and I'm on my front porch in my rocking chair and all I've done with my life is just gather crowds. If I want to gather crowds, I'd be an events coordinator. I hate events coordination. No, I don't really, they're all right. But we're not called to be people that just gather people. That's why Connect groups are so important. We don't just gather together, give each other a high five, pretend like everything's good, put our mask on and walk out the door. We're actually here to come together to build disciples. That's how we save a city. That's how we transform a city, when we actually go beyond just gathering a crowd and building disciples. A disciple is defined as someone who, number one, passionately pursues Christ, and number two, purposely produces other Christ followers. We could make it way more complicated if we want to. We could make it 55 steps to whatever, or here's 7 things you need to be before. No, passionately pursue Christ, purposely produce other Christ followers. That's what a disciple is. You don't need to go to Bible college to be a disciple. You don't need to be ordained as a pastor to be a disciple. Passionately pursue Christ, purposely produce other Christ followers. How do we do that? We do that in our Connect groups. I want everyone to leave church today in a Connect group. That's my goal. I'm not gonna keep that as a secret. I want you all to leave today. And I know many of us are already in Connect groups. I know I'm preaching to the choir and the South Campus is pumped about Connect groups. Especially Travis. Let's just talk really quickly in the last few minutes we have about God's plan to grow the church. Just in case you need clarification. This is it here. Acts chapter 1 verse 15. This is a story about revival when the church began. Acts 1:15. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. So we have 120 people here in Acts chapter 1. 120 people. That's kind of like when we started, I think when we started in the movie theater, we had about 200 people. But it's a small group of people. 120 people, Acts chapter 1. Let's skip forward to Acts 2, verse 41 and 42. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 people added in one day. That's revival. That's chaotic. Could you imagine if the next Sunday, 3,000 additional people just showed up to church here? Oh my gosh. It'd be crazy. We wouldn't be able to fit everyone in. We'd have to go to 7 services. I don't know what we'd do. The band would be playing all day. You guys would be here at 4 in the morning for our sunrise service. I'm kidding. We're not going to do a sunrise service. I promise you that, because I wouldn't be there. I'm not going to do that. 3,000 added in a day. They devoted themselves. Now check this out. Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the breaking of bread, which I have to clarify, is sourdough bread, toasted with butter on it. It's none of this bread that tastes like wood, okay? It's not healthy. And to prayer. So that right there, that's God's strategy to build the church. That's his strategy. There's two real steps to it, essentially. The first step is the apostles' teaching, which is church. The second step is fellowship, breaking of bread, and praying together. That's connect groups. Connect groups is not something that we do. Connect groups is who we are. It's how we build the church. How would we even look after 3,000 people if they came in tomorrow? I mean, if Emma and I were looking after them, then man, we'd be having coffees all. We'd be having coffees all day. We book in for a coffee. Like, okay, I've got a space in the year 2025. We can do Starbucks or, you know, like, how do we actually pastor? How do we lead, pastor, disciple a city? Right now we have 18 connect groups for South Campus. Pretty soon we're going to have 30, we're going to have 40, we're going to have 50. Because the way that we deal with and the way that we do revival is through our connect groups. The way that we pastor, how do we pastor and look after, because we're a church that looks after people, how do we look after and pastor 10,000 people? Through our connect groups. How do we reach our community? Through our connect groups. How do we make disciples? Through our connect groups. It all comes back to our connect groups. Now let's continue reading through Acts here. Acts 2, 46, 47. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Every day. Church and connect group, every day. I'm just going to let that settle. Every day. Imagine that. Travis is so ready for that. I'll just run a service every day. Travis will be the only one there on the Wednesday one. I don't know. Praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord, here we go, added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is revival. Acts 4, verse 4. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. So we had 120, then we had 3,000. Now there's 5,000 men. You have to assume when there's 5,000 men, there's hopefully 5,000 women. Otherwise, that'd be awkward. So there's 5,000 men, 5,000 women, probably 10,000 kids. If it was South Campus, there'd be 50,000 kids and an amazing playground. But unfortunately, it's not. So let's go with 20,000. So they've gone from 120 people to 20,000 people in a short period of time. That's called revival. Acts 5:14 says this, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Then Acts 5:28, it says, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And biblical scholars would believe that the church in this time was around 80 to 100,000 people big, which is incredible. But what makes it even more amazing is that Jerusalem was only around 200,000 people big. So what that, like when you actually think about that, like I was thinking about this, and I'm like, could you imagine that? Like you're in a city with, like the Chula Vista's got like a couple hundred thousand, 250,000 people in it. There's probably 300,000 or 400,000 people in South Bay. Like if we had a church of 100,000 people, that would mean that, it would mean we have to get a bigger building. We have to build another building. Have to buy the land across the street, which I've already got my eyes on. Build an even bigger church. But what that would also mean is that we'd have connect groups everywhere. We'd have thousands of connect groups. Every street in South Bay would have a connect group on it. Every Starbucks would have a connect group in it. People would walk to connect group. Think about that. If half of the city goes to connect group, right? That means it's like a never-ending block party everywhere you go. You walk down a street, there's a connect group in that house. That's what revival looks like. It's like you walk to connect group because either you or one of your neighbors has one. That's amazing. That's the picture of revival. And here's the thing. I believe that if God can do it in Jerusalem, come on, God can do it in Chula Vista. And the way we're going to do revival is going to be through building disciples and growing people. And getting people out of their isolation and into friendship and into community. Come on, God has a mighty purpose for your life. He wants you to connect in with someone on that purpose. He wants you to grow in that. He wants you to step into the call that God has for you. And I believe that we're going to see an amazing revival here in Chula Vista. If God can do it, then He can do it today. We're out of time. I ask everyone to close their eyes and bow their heads really quickly. I want to ask the question. I talked about a lot about being connected with people and making sure you have friends in life. I have to ask this question as we close up the service in just a moment. Are you close to God right now? Are you actually connected? We talked about making friends with people, but are you friends with God? If you're not friends with God, I'd love for you to reconnect with Him today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you, if you're not actually close with God right now, you're far from God, maybe you've never actually walked with God in your life. I don't know. I'm not sure where you're at. But I want to ask that question. If you're disconnected from God right now, if that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you just to wave your hand at me really quickly and just tell me that's you. If that's you today, just give me a quick wave as we close up the service in just the last minute we've got. So if that's you, if you're not walking with Jesus right now, just give me a wave. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Awesome. 30 seconds left, and I'm out to hand the service over to Pastor Emma. Anybody else? Anybody else wants to raise their hand and reconnect with God today? Is there anybody else? Thank you, I see your hand, ma'am. Thank you, I see your hand, sir. I feel like there's still one more person. God's knocking on the door of your heart right now. You know this is you. You know you're not walking with Him. You know this is your day to reconnect with God. If that's you, in the last 10 seconds we've got, just give me a wave of your hand. Amen. Amen. You can open your eyes, church. Awesome. Hey, why don't we put our hands together for God? Amen. So about two or three of you raised your hands. What I'd love for you to do is we're going to close up the service in about a few minutes from now. I'd love for you to see our ministry team just over here. We've got a great team of people that want to pray with you. They want to give you a Bible, want to give you a gift from us. We like to give gifts away. That's the church we are. We're going to give you a gift there. We're going to give you a nice coffee. It's awesome. But we'd love for you just to, don't leave today without getting that information and that gift from us. We'd love to help you take your next steps. Amen. And I'm going to invite Pastor Emma to come up. Why don't you come up? Give it up for my beautiful wife.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.